The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
Welcome to One and All on this Memorial Day weekend right here in Denver metro area where it is raining. Raining pretty hard just between the car and the studio here. I walk in and I'm just wet. I'm starting out all wet, wetted up here. Welcome aboard. Glad you are here, and no shortage of things to be catching up on. Yeah, we're live and we're local, and yeah, it's the holiday weekend. But I know people probably aren't going that far away and doing all that much, as yes, we continue to live under some kind of a coronavirus scenario, easing up around the corner. But a lot of blue states not around the corner. They keep extending the lockdowns, like in Michigan and California. The blue states still want to imprison their blue state citizenry. We'll talk about that, but President Trump says time to open up the churches and places of worship, and he might even just override governors of blue states that want to prevent that kind of thing from happening. So yeah, we'll cover the coronavirus, and of course, Joe Biden decides, he decides if you're black or not, and I don't know, not a day goes by without a world-class gaffe screw up by Joe Biden. And would you call it even a gaffe, or would you call it a screw up, or would you call it like Biden actually being honest, making the first honest statement of his campaign by coming out and saying to a black reporter he's talking to on a radio show, saying, "You ain't black. You ain't black if you have any doubt in your mind about voting for Trump versus Joe Biden." He says that if you are black, by definition, you are voting for him, for Joe Biden. How'd you like that one, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, long track record and history of comments like this. We'll go through some of those, but mainstream media having to scramble big time to handle this one. MSNBC running damage control ever since that moment. CNN, to my knowledge, has still not even touched it. I've been trying to follow, okay, what is CNN saying about this? And they haven't even said anything. How is that, CNN? Biden tried to hide from it, tried to duck from it, ended up seeing the firestorm get out of control and had to come out and offer a kind of an apology. Said, oh, I was being a little too cavalier there. Yeah, cavalier. Oh, man. Good old Joe Biden. And that is a significant one, because the Democrats are already freaked out about President Trump's growing success with the African-American community in this country. And then Joe Biden walks in with a rich white guy paternalistic statement like that. Yikes, Joe. Like I said, not a day goes by without some kind of a disaster down there in the Biden basement. Just flooding. That place is flooding down there. And so he's got all the damage control people surrounding him, and you can only imagine what life is like for them down there. Big Spygate week, lot of things going on heading into the holiday. We'll cover the latest with Judge Sullivan, his kamikaze mission to expose himself as a tool of the deep state or a tool of Barack Obama himself. Looks like, you know, he got reprimanded, sort of. You know, he's ordered by the D.C. Circuit to respond personally to his latest questionable decision-making and judgment on, trying to become the prosecutor of Flynn and soliciting outside counsel to come in and talk about the Flynn case. Yeah, he's looking like a total tool for the deep state with all of this, but he brings in an outside lawyer. He's supposed to do this in person to respond to the Third Circuit, but he brings in an outside lawyer, a D.C.-connected lawyer named Beth Wilkinson to represent him. So he's like the prosecutor and the defendant and the judge of Flynn all in one in this Flynn kamikaze circus thing going on. Turns out I looked a little bit into this Beth Wilkinson. Looks like she's a good friend of Catherine Rumler. Spygate followers know that name. Catherine Rumler is Obama's personal fixer. His own attorney fixer who gets involved in every little mess and is kind of an expert at stonewalling and running the show from behind the scenes. And, yeah, why does Judge Sullivan need Obama's fixer's friend to come in and speak for him when he was asked to speak personally and respond personally to the D.C. Third Circuit? Huh. I think that's getting kind of interesting. We had the declassification of a key paragraph in the Susan Rice CYA memo, which we talked about for quite some time around here. And getting right to the upshot here in the opening monologue, it looks like Susan Rice and Barack Obama, on the advice of Catherine Rumler, Obama's fixer, White House counsel, going back to January 20th, 2017, they were throwing Comey, James Comey, under the bus. I'll explain more about what that is about as the show goes on. But throwing Comey under the bus, did Barack Obama, did Catherine Rumler, did Susan Rice? And I'm kind of wondering, did Comey know this at the time, or is he kind of learning this now, that he is the one who knew all about withholding information about spying on General Flynn and withholding information about Russia, the Russia investigation from the Team Trump? That was Comey that did that, and Comey is responsible for that. And I'm kind of thinking, if you got as big an ego as Comey has, how do you take it? Do you enjoy life under the bus? Do you want to live right there under the bus as placed there so nicely by Obama, by Rumler, by Susan Rice? Maybe not. I don't know. Does Comey want to be the fall guy here? Is he going to relish that role? Is there any risk that Comey might, he wrote those memos about Trump, supposedly, and he managed to leak those into the media. Any risk that Comey has any memos that he wrote about Obama to protect himself from Obama with all this? Could those end up being leaked out into the media? Or does Comey want to be taking the fall? If anyone is going to take the fall, does Comey want to be the one who does it? I think there might be some risk of turning there. I'm seeing that Christopher Wray, FBI director, do-nothing guy, finally has been so invaded by Rick Grinnell and by John Durham's investigation that he's had to order a sort of a look-back investigation into the FBI's handling of the Russia investigation all the way along. Ray is no good, but he's starting to crumble a little bit because he has no choice, and what's coming out in the future here soon is going to be looking so bad for the FBI and for Ray that he has to get out ahead of this a little bit. That's interesting. And John Brennan was expressly telling Ray, you got to be strong, you got to stay strong, you got to do your job, and you got to keep the lid on this thing. And not a few days later, Ray is already starting to crumble a little bit. I really like how that looks. Oh, man. And let's see. Richard Burr, corrupt senator, Republican establishment guy, Senate Intel Committee. Oh, he just had to leave that committee because he's on the rack for insider trading. Got caught. And when you start to see pressure applied to these Republican collusion stooges types, that's also a good sign that things are happening. Oh, yeah, we'll cover all of those developments here as this show goes on. We'll talk about more on the all-mail ballot cheat strategy the Democrats are coming up with. Adam Schiff is tweeting about it. Joe Biden is tweeting about it. Trump is dead set against it, knows that it's a recipe for fraud, and I thought we would look in deeper detail. By the way, Mitt Romney wants the all-mail ballot. Can you believe it? The never-Trumpers, Bill Kristol, wants the all-mail ballot. That is the strategy to use coronavirus to get the all-mail ballot to cheat for the Democrats to try to win in November and get whatever Spygate convictions John Durham comes up with. get them nullified, right? You see how this is going to work? Very, very important election as we head into, it's going to be like quasi-civil war kind of deal heading into November, if you want my opinion. And it is still the same old story. It is President Donald Trump, the outsider representing America against the corrupt insider deep state crew, which involves Republicans and Democrats alike. It's the same old battle. Trump is about to get ahead in this. And so they have to cheat by the mail-in ballot. Look at Michigan. Secretary of State sent out 7.7 million ballots to everybody there in Michigan. Oh, Michigan is key. We'll talk a little bit of Michigan as the show goes on. Democrats want Michigan's electoral votes so badly, so badly. Everything you hear and see about Michigan, Governor Whitmer, some people call her Whitler, the Democrat tyrant up there, all that. She wants to be Biden's VP, by the way, but all of that is related to those electoral votes November 2020. We'll discuss, we will explain. And how about your thoughts tonight? 303-696-1971. You are invited as the show goes on. Memorial Day, holiday weekend, you know, laid back. We'll just roll through a few things and try to make sense of a few things. And your input is invited. And we'll be right back.
News Talk 710 KNUS. News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Memorial Day weekend. Little Zach Brown here.
I thank God for my life and for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who die. The ones that give their lives so we don't have to sacrifice. All the things we love, like our chicken fries and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, oh, I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my mama's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child, and know a mother's love.
Yeah, I always think of Casey Bloyer, my buddy, when we play Zach Brown. Good old Mr. Bloyer was the guy who introduced me to Zach Brown and told me about what it was like to be the Zach concerts down there at Mile High, I still call it. At any rate, yeah, you know, we're not doing much probably outside barbecue today anyway. I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like, but we got water. We got water coming down from the sky here, Denver metro area. Backbone Radio, Matt Dunn here. We'll go out to the phones here in just a minuto, but I figure we better be dealing with the Joe Biden, you ain't black moment. Is it a moment or is it something larger than that? I mean, you know, he's known for gaffes and he's known for mistakes, but I submit that this is like a little window into the real soul of Joe Biden. He's paternal. The Democrats, that's how they look at black people. Is they're, you know, they're not black if they don't vote for them. They own the black vote. The paternalistic Democrats, they own the black vote. And any black individual who wants to make up their own mind or think their own thoughts or come to their own conclusions, well, that's just not permitted. That means that they are not actually black, right? And that's how Joe Biden thinks. And so Joe Biden, it was either yesterday or Friday. He's on a radio interview called The Breakfast Club with a radio host named Charlemagne the God. And Joe Biden decides he's going to say this. This is what Joe Biden has to say on that breakfast show. African American radio host here.
You got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Whoa, okay. And it's interesting that Joe Biden doesn't say you're not black. You are not black. He says you ain't black. Doesn't that sort of add a little something there to Joe Biden's sentiments? Doesn't that add a little, not PC, not sensitive. But yet, yeah, this is what Biden thinks, man. That's Joe Biden for you. That's the Democrats for you. They're already so paranoid that Donald Trump is having so much success with the African-American community, African-American voters, from Kanye West to P. Diddy to Herschel Walker, big high-profile individuals, down the line to the poll numbers that say African-Americans, in particular African-American men, like Donald Trump more than they've liked any other Republican since Abraham Lincoln. And that's saying something. Democrats have got to find a way to stop that and block that and make that go away. And what Joe Biden does here goes right in the opposite direction of the Democrat strategy heading into November. That's why this is a very big deal. Very big deal. And let's get a little bit more of an extended cut here. Just a little extended to add a little context. This is Joe Biden yesterday morning with Charlemagne the God.
You got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see.
Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
Yeah. By the way, I looked into that, and the NAACP says, no, they have not endorsed Joe Biden. Oh. Well, that's another one there in that little Biden basement statement. And it just doesn't look good for the guy. Big-time damage control from the media to the extent they won't even touch it. Of course, Twitter's trying to control that "you ain't black" hashtag. They're forcing that not to trend. But boy, that thing went big, and Joe Biden did have to come out and apologize, you know, after the whole day of, well, it's just a joke, you know, it's just a joke, and the media is trying to cover for him and trying to, you know, kind of, you know, do their thing. And no, he had to apologize. We'll get to the apology here in just a little bit here as the show goes on. I've got some audio reels of Joe Biden on race issues. Is he the best the Democrats can really do for 2020? I don't think so. And let's go. Let's talk to Jack and Evergreen. You have a thought on Biden, maybe, but welcome aboard, Jack.
Yeah, they're going to pass him off as a kind of a benign character. In other words, Joe Biden malaprop.
Joe just being Joe, huh?
Yeah, just malaprop.
Yeah.
Good speaking.
That's what they're going to try to do. And of course,
I got a serious topic.
Yeah, okay. Lay it on.
Okay, our company is buying all their tires for the value and quality tires from offshore, but we are not buying anything from China. Absolutely nothing from China.
Good.
And the thought occurred to me that if at Home Depot or Menards or any of these places you go to, when they go to the checkout with whatever it is you purchased and they scan it, if that barcode should have a bar in it that says made in China, so the person has a chance before they pay and leave the store to go back and revisit the aisle and see if there isn't a similar product made in Mexico, Canada, Yugoslavia, you name it.
Not or America, China. Even.
And on a rare occasion that could happen. But I think that we should be informed, and there should be a law passed, that whenever you barcode scan anything, that the cashier notifies you that your product that you're purchasing was made in China. So you have the choice to say no, thank you.
I would vote for that. And, you know, someone like Donald Trump, who has changed the whole debate on China going back decades single-handedly, you know, he's the only one who gets China right. Biden's been wrong about China for 40 years. Trump and Peter Navarro, Lighthizer, some of his trade people, they might be interested in this kind of thing. And I would submit to you, the American people might be interested in this kind of thing. Biden never would. The globalist, the Democrat elite class, sell out the American middle class. They never would go for this kind of thing.
No, but I think it's doable. I think somebody should lobby some of the, it would only have to start in one state. I mean, maybe in Wyoming it'll start because they actually have their heads on straight up there.
I wonder if you could maybe like get that nudged up there in Wyoming, Jack. Maybe you could bang the gong
a little. Yeah, if I had the time, I'd go over and I would see if I couldn't get my foot in the door. And I'm a pretty convincing chap as it is, you know.
Oh, totally. I mean, you prove that. you know, week in and week out, Jack. You know,
it's... Okay, man. I'm on my way to Evergreen for 12 hours and back up to Wyoming.
Okay. Well, all right, man. All right. Watch the rain. Is it raining where you are?
Yeah, it is, and I'm just getting on 76 at, what is this, Kersey or something here. Hudson,
okay.
Hudson.
All right. Thanks for the field report there. But, yeah, keep those wipers on. And thank you, Jack, my man, as we got the distance, the social distance theme song still going. 303-696-1971. Be right back.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
It is the long weekend. Yeah, a little Za with Calvin Harris, the Scotsman. You know, I just might throw a little question out for advice to Backbone Country. You know, it's time to plant the garden. And so, dutiful husband, host Dunn here, goes out, digs up the garden, makes all the rows and the mounds, and I get everything. You know, it's like a lot of, you know, a fair amount of labor. I'm out there with the shovel. And I do it every year, love it. I'm a keen gardener, like to think. And so, and I'm kind of influenced a little bit by Thomas Jefferson. I've read his garden books and the way he planted and experimented and all that. So I like, you know, plant stuff and I experiment with how does this grow here in this place in the garden? How does this grow here? And, you know, being a man of science and all that. At any rate, so I plant almost the entire garden, but I leave about four rows that I thought my sweet pink little wife would like to plant. You know, she can decide, you know, some rows that she might like to plant. And what does my sweet wife do? I found out like a couple days later that she planted three full rows of turnips. Three full rows of turnips. And I don't remember what the fourth row was, but I was like, wait a minute. I leave these meticulously prepared rows and you plant turnips. Nobody in the family likes turnips. Not one person in the Dunn family likes turnips. Well, I guess except for like my parents like turnips, and I think maybe my wife's parents like turnips, but none of my kids like turnips. We've tried turnips before. We've tried it on them. And for me to eat a turnip, it's like you have to like work. You have to, I mean, it's like hard, man. I mean, you got to kind of force the turnip. You got to make it happen, right? It's not easy. At any rate, so we're going to have like three full rows of turnips in our garden. I mean, that might... I mean, maybe we'll pass 100 turnips out of our garden. And I might just, the question I'm throwing out there is, I mean, does anybody have any idea what to do with 100 turnips? I mean, what do you do with a turnip? I mean, what do you even do with one turnip? But like 100 of them, is there some kind of a turnip recipe that maybe anybody knows? Is there some sort of a soup or some sort of a thing that can be done to salvage this, you know, I guess I could go out to the garden, dig up those rows, and it's not too late. I could, like, plant something else in there, something non-turnip. Anyway, so, yeah, heavy friction. Heavy friction in the Dunn household over this turnip issue. And, I was thinking that maybe, like, around harvest, when we harvest these turnips, I could offer, like, a free turnip. You know, anybody who calls into Backbone Radio, you know, I'll get you a turnip. I'll send you a turnip. You can have one. And then I thought, well, nobody would call in that night. So I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some way. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe my folks, my wife's folks, yeah, maybe the grandparents are going to get a lot of turnips in, you know, September, if that's when we harvest. At any rate, so I just so you know, I'm perplexed. I don't quite know what to do, and I'm thinking next year I'm going to just go ahead and plant every single inch of the garden and not leave any room for anybody else to plant anything. That's like a provisional solution. Anyway, so yeah, that's that one. And so yeah, I think I remember that. Don't they eat a lot of turnips in Russia? Maybe somebody from Russia knows about like turnip soup. Maybe I'm thinking cabbages. I don't know. At any rate, I better get back to serious business here. And yeah, Biden has come out. And just so you hear this one more time, I mean, by the way, and there's a website, youaintblack.com. Apparently, I don't know if you can actually get into that website. I just tried just now. A caller called in and said, go to the youaintblackwebsite.com set up, I think, maybe by the Trump campaign. But looks like it's somehow blocked for some reason. But anyway, Joe Biden, this is his brainstorm right here.
You got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Okay. So he's, you know, it's not you're not black. It's you ain't black, which is, now, come on. Come on. That's how he thinks. That's how the Democrats think. And so after all this, you know, the day goes by, CNN won't touch it, MSNBC's running damage control, you know, they're coming out with all these things. Well, you know, Joe, he's jesting. He's just joking. Yeah, you know, Washington Post comes out. Well, it's obviously a joke. And Sheila Jackson Lee, the representative from Houston, she said it was in jest that he said that. Trump's campaign advisor, Simmons, I believe is her name, she says, yes, it was in jest. And by the way, since when? Like Donald Trump, you know, he's obviously joking a lot from when he came down the escalator. You know, remember when he said, Russia, if you're listening, you know, and he, at a press conference, he was totally joking about Russia, if you're listening. And the Democrats and the media ran with that, knowing that Trump was joking. They ran with that like it was a full-on serious policy statement from Trump that implicated him with ties to Russia. You see how this works. They're going to say, well, Biden was joking. And, well, Biden himself had to come out and say a little thing or two. And, you know, this is the Biden apology that he had no way of getting himself out of after the firestorm got rolling.
I shouldn't have been so cavalier in responding to what I thought was. Anyway, it was, I don't take it for granted at all. And no one should have to vote for any party based on their race, their religion, their background.
Okay, so Joe says, well, I was being a little cavalier. Little too cavalier, and, you know, the media is going to, of course, try to excuse Biden for this. And as you know, that any Republican who were to have said something even remotely in that vicinity, ballpark, county, nationality, that would not be a joke. It would be like the end of that individual, as you know. Robert Johnson, who is the founder of Black Entertainment Television, he didn't respond well. He said, you know, Biden should spend the rest of his campaign apologizing to every black person he meets. Yeah, that's Robert Johnson. He says, yeah, you know, you got to apologize. From here on out, Joe, anytime you see anybody African-American, well, just start apologizing. And I think that's about right, you know. What Joe should do. They just think if you're black, you're going to be a Democrat, and if you're not, well, something's the matter with you. That's how they operate. And got some more clips I want to work in, but let's talk to James here. And James, welcome to Backbone Radio. What's on your mind this evening?
No, I was just listening to your show, Driving in the Rain, over out here, and I would just like to ask Joe one thing. Hey, Joe, what's NAACP stand for? Well, you know the national, you know the other thing. And let him chew on his words there.
Let him see, you ask him what NAACP stands for and see if he knows. You think he doesn't know? Is that where you're going with that?
If he can't remember what, when he said, you know, it's good for the company and, you know, that other thing. I don't think he's all there.
I know it. And the thing is that the NAACP came out in an express statement and they said they have not endorsed Biden.
And that's what I'm saying. He doesn't know what it stands for.
Yeah, he probably does not know what it stands for and or much of anything else. But I do think that, you know, his statement like this kind of fits a pattern with his past statements on racial issues. And remember when he called Barack Obama like a clean and presentable? Remember all that?
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah.
Oh, he's got quite a history does Joe Biden. And in fact, I might even play some of that right now. Listen to this while you're on board here with us. Listen to this is Biden on race matters through the years.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids, wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids.
Is that kid wearing a hoodie? May very well be the next poet laureate and not a gangbanger.
We got the first sort of mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy.
And I don't know if you could hear that. I know you're on, but you know, the hey, for the first time ever, we've got this clean, kind of mainstream.
I really think there's something wrong with it medically.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's all I had to say. That just made me laugh, but I would like to see if he could answer that.
Yep, and, you know, I bet you're right. I bet you're right, James, that he could not answer that. And not only that, he doesn't even have their endorsement when he said he did. So that's the thing about Biden is, you know, is he just puts his foot in his mouth, and he puts his other foot in his mouth, and then, you know, then his wife's hand in his mouth. Remember that one?
Oh.
He was up on stage with his wife. And he starts biting her hand, and it, oh, it's like, come on, Democrats. Yeah. I mean, is this your guy? Anyway, well, James, hey, thank you, and you're at. Is it raining where you are?
E-470 and 104th. Yes, it is. Like cats and dogs.
Okay. All right. Well. All right. Enjoy that. You know, it'll.
Okay. Bye bye.
You bet. And I was thinking that all this rain, it's helping the turnips grow. So yeah, the turnips are. They're probably already out of the ground, and I've already had some people text us. Jan Cook says she likes turnips. Jan, you want 100 turnips in a couple of months? You might not want to be my friend if you next fall. And then I have another text to the studio saying, bless her heart to my wife, let them grow. There's like a lot of pro-turnip sentiment in Backbone Country. Of course, I'm being a little, you know, I'm just a little bit in jest here, like not quite in the Biden way, you know, but I mean, turnips, you know, it's, I could handle a few turnips. We do a few, but like, I don't know, like 3 rows of turnips. It's like, that's going too far. You gone a little too far there, hun. Yeah. Anyway, hey, we'll be right back. It's Backbone Radio.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to Backbone Radio
These
with Matt Dunn.
People.
News Talk 710 KNUS.
This is the land where my forefathers lie.
Memorial Day weekend.
These are my people. In brotherhood, we're heirs of a creed to live by. A creed that proclaims that by loved one's blood stains, this is my land, and these are my people.
Let's bring some guitar in now, Johnny.
These are my people. They were born on and lived by the land. These are my people. And their cities were raised by hard-working hands. And their faces do tell that they're holding on well to this their land. Yes, these are my people.
Let's keep
these
going.
These are my people.
Yes, they are.
These are the ones who will reach for the stars. These are my people. By the light of the earth, you can tell they are ours. A new step to take, and a new day will break for this my land. Yes, these are my people. These are my people.
One of my all-time favorite Johnny Cash songs that I think I'm the only one who knows of it. There's a handful of those songs, you know, that I think the only time you'll ever hear them is if you're listening to Backbone Radio. This is one of them, and it's just such a good, perfect, pristine, beautiful song about this great and noble land. Well, the United States of America, this experiment in freedom and liberty and self-governance, long may that flag wave for this nation. And I will tell you this, that I'm expecting heading into November, it's going to be quasi-civil war kind of scenario. I'll explain more about my thinking on that as the show goes along. But the ruling class has been dethroned, and they want more than anything to get back in power in this country. They want it back. They will say and do anything. They will cheat. They will lie. They will steal. And when you corner the deep state, that's when dangerous people get a little bit more dangerous. And the deep state people are cornered right now in a big way. And by the way, just so you know, the tally is that everybody in Backbone Country is pro-turnip. There's been a call or two during the break, didn't want to go on air, who said that they like turnips, they're pro-turnips. And I've had a few texts to studio saying pro-turnip. And so I am in the distinct minority on the turnip equation here. So I think I'm going to have to mend my ways and start liking turnips. Anyway, I did not know that Backbone Country was so pro-turnip, else I would never have gone down this road. I figured everybody would be on my side saying, oh, Matt, you poor suffering husband out there. You poor guy. Anyway, you know, a plea for sympathy. Anyway, thought I would spend some of this hour yet talking about Joe Biden and his attitude towards African Americans, towards black people in this country. And, you know, if you ever watch Fox News, one of the really great anchors they have is Harris Faulkner. She's a black woman, and I just think she is just so excellent in every way and really just gets right to the point on the news. And she was called to her. She was asked to maybe respond. What did she think of what Joe Biden had to say? And just so you hear it one more time.
You got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Yeah. So what does Harris Faulkner have to say? She says she was raised in a military family, and I think she's always been a little bit conservative. She doesn't quite necessarily. She says she's been neutral. She seems a little conservative in her viewpoint on air on Fox News, though. You know, maybe you would just say neutral. It seems conservative because she's neutral, right? Most every other media personage is so far out there on the radical left that just to be neutral seems like, you know, you're the opposite, way to the right. But Harris Faulkner had a wonderful response, I think, to what Joe Biden's, completely denigrating comments were. Here's Harris Faulkner.
I've been fighting against this notion that you're not black enough unless you think a certain way, you vote a certain way, you speak a certain way, you do certain things. My whole life, I grew up military, pretty much neutral along the zone of, can we all just get along no matter what we look like? I have biracial daughters, Melissa, you know them. This is more than just a little offensive. It is short-sighted. It is a blind spot for this former vice president. He should have gotten up immediately on whatever venue microphone he had. I would have said it for him immediately right there in the one that he already was in on the Breakfast Club and say, you know what? Let me restate that. But, you know, I think this says it better. It is Black Voices for Trump and their statement. I'm just going to read the first couple of sentences. White liberal elitists have continuously dictated which black Americans are allowed to come to the table and have a voice. It is clear now more than ever, following these racist and dehumanizing remarks, that Joe Biden believes black men and women are incapable of being independent or free thinking. He truly believes that a 77-year-old white man should dictate how black people should behave. Biden has a history of racial condescension, and today he once again proved that a growing number of black Americans, and I have always known Joe Biden does not deserve our votes. That's Katrina Pearson, Trump 2020 senior advisor. You don't have to be any particular race to know when someone puts you down because you're different.
Okay, and so just everything possible wrong with Joe Biden's statement, and what's even the most wrong thing about it is I think that's what Biden really thinks. You know, you get through all of his mental fog and his confusion, and his some kind of decline in his mental functioning. But yet, you know, that's what he thinks. And by the way, you know, many individuals, many African Americans responded to Biden's statement, and Herschel Walker was one of them. Herschel Walker tweeted this. This is May 22. This is Friday. Quote, "Wow, I just watched former Vice President Joe Biden. Does he not understand that black and brown skinned people can think for themselves? You don't determine who we vote for." End quote. And so then I go, you know, on Twitter, and I noticed last night, guess who's trending? Herschel Walker is trending on Twitter, and I thought, I wonder if the left is going after Herschel. So sure enough, I look at the Herschel Walker hashtag, and you have all these mean, nasty people attacking Herschel Walker for having stood up and spoken out loud about Joe Biden's reprehensible statements. Tell you, you know, I mean, he's going after Herschel for Herschel talking about what Biden said in an accurate manner. Tells you there is no limit to how low it seems to me some of these people on the left will go. I mean, Twitter is a cesspool, as you know, but you got to be on there. You got to get information from there. And Donald Trump is there as long as Mika Brzezinski doesn't get him thrown off. At any rate, and we'll start heading into some of the latest when we come back after this. It's Backbone.
We are better together. News Talk 710 KNUS.